Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio this morning with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. We are looking outside right now at some weather that that might mess up your hair. Is that what we're going to be talking about today in this chapter called We Will Have Some Bad Hair Days?
Yes.
This weather's been quite interesting here in San Diego, and it's still interesting today.
Yes, it's been getting out the jackets and then getting back out your bathing suits, and it's been crazy.
90 what yesterday?
97.
97.
In October.
Wow. It's really Phoenix. Just get used to it. So we are jumping into a chapter here in the balance portion of Jesus Life Coach, talking about bad hair days. What were you thinking when you wrote this chapter?
Well, you know, we tend to think, and sometimes Christian people believe that if you just put a scripture on it, it's going to have a bow on it. Mm. And you can put it all in a nice little box, and everything is handled, and all things are good and in order, and you have the favor of God, and so the red carpet is rolled out, and you get to arrive on time without any perspiration rings, and you know, that shows that you're in the Lord's will.
Mm.
And all you have to do is look at the messiness of the cross to know that sometimes God's will is messy.
Wow.
And does not look real good on screen.
Mm. Well, that does position bad hair days in a different light.
Yes, and for women especially, I don't think men have this problem too much, except maybe keeping their hair. They'd be grateful for any hair, some of them, but it's really about how, you know, in the last verse of the chapter, I said, is your hair messed up? Maybe Jesus walked by and rubbed you up to say, hey, loosen up, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, and I talk about a friend that I know who goes to another friend's house who's just anal about everything, and during the party, she'll go in and mess up his closets, and somehow they're still friends because she just wants him to loosen up a little bit. And I think sometimes that the lighter version is that, you know, you don't have to take everything so seriously.
You kick off this chapter with a passage from Jonah, chapter 4, verse 7. God ordained that a worm should attack the castor oil plant, and it withered. What's that? How does that relate to this title?
Well, I love the story of Jonah, particularly because I think he was a fire prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he enjoyed telling people how wrong they were and how they needed to clean up or God was going to destroy them. And then what do you know? They listened and they repented and God didn't destroy them. And Jonah went into a funk. You know, sometimes you can see that with some of these evangelical preachers who like to blame hurricanes for the sins of the city and all that, and then they get a little disappointed when their prophecies of doom and gloom don't come true. And Jonah was no different from that. So he goes to pout, and this castor oil plant grows and gives him some shade, so he's taking a little bit of comfort in that. But then a worm came and ate it, so he lost all of his comfort, and now he's really in a depression. And the point is, the way the scripture is written, that God ordained the plant to grow, and then he ordained it to wither.
Mm.
And in other words, you know what, Jonah, it's time to get up and get moving. It's time to not just sit in the shade thinking everything is, you know, made in the shade. You got to get out there and get your hair messed up.
Yeah, wow. That's hard for fires and earths.
Right.
You know, we're all about the order, right? And getting it right and getting the task. And you direct us in this chapter to some things about Jesus, how it was kind of out of order or how he created chaos. And talk to us a little bit about this list, Lori, here that I'm looking at, turning over the tables, turning water to wine at the wedding, talking to a woman shunned by society. You talk about Jesus was born in a cave, not a palace. He was placed not on the fine linens, but on straw. That's some bad hair days. Is that
Well, it's really about not letting your expectations for looking good have you miss the presence of the Lord.
Mm.
And I think that I see that a lot in society, and I think that people, and Christians especially, need to understand that sometimes life is messy and that they just have to be in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you look at Jesus and who he hung out with and how he partied and how he sometimes, he could have gone to jail for not paying his taxes, you know, forgetting that. We tend to think that he really was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant member of the Augusta Country Club with, you know, a white picket fence and 2.5 kids and, you know, that image. We tend to make God in our own image.
Mm.
And I think what this is saying is don't be so sure that you know the image of God.
Mm.
Unless you're looking at Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Mm.
That means you've seen him forgiving people. You have seen him calling out religious leaders for being hypocrites. You have seen him doing some unpopular things and being God in doing it.
Mm. So how do we move into that kind of space where we allow God to rub our head and mess up our hair during the day and get us off schedule? And, you know, we just don't view it that way most of the time.
Well,
we view it as kind of a nuisance. Oh, I had to go out of my way, or this person interrupted, or I got off track, or distracted. Or,
you know, as we're sitting here talking with your questions, I'm thinking about some of the greatest stories in Scripture were interruptions. You know, the people that interrupted Jesus' Bible study, if you will, and brought their friend down through the roof, the woman who touched his garment that interrupted him on his journey, the mother who interrupted him as he was maybe telling jokes at a wedding. So many of his blessings came from interruptions. The Roman soldier coming, you know, saying, come save my son or my slave, different translations. The interruptions of life can be the biggest blessings.
Mm.
And it makes me think about Taylor Swift's song that she wrote, You Were My Best 4 Years. And I think I mentioned it in another show that the death of her 4-year-old son and knowing for at least part of that time that he was dying was nevertheless her best 4 years.
Oh.
And sometimes the days, you know, if you look back on the days that have been your most memorable in your life, probably your hair was a little messed up, I'm going to guess.
Yeah. Wow, that's profound and very rich. I often think about those times during the day when something happens and see it as, oh my gosh, I got off track.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I'm over here chasing this rabbit. But I think I need to pause with that, you know, and just kind of sit and think, wow, was God in that moment? How was God in that moment? And I wonder as leaders, Lori, I mean, you're with lots of leaders. How does this show up in the boardroom? How does this show up in the org charts and in the day-to-day with leaders that you're involved in?
Well, a most recent example is I'm writing a book with Doug Hawthorne, the CEO at Texas Health Resources, and I was in his office the other day waiting for him to come in, and I looked around, and certainly there's all these trophies and Business Person of the Year and Most 10 Influential in Healthcare and all of these things, but what he has framed right by his desk is a typed letter from a woman who wrote when he was a resident. As healthcare executives, you actually have residencies, and she wanted to thank him because she knew he was very busy, but when he learned that she was missing her house coat, he moved heaven and earth and had it delivered to her home the next day with some flowers. And she said, I know that this is a big hospital, but it's a big hospital doing little things.
Wow.
And that's what he has framed by his desk. So it was an interruption for him as a resident. He's dealing with doctors and psychiatrists and all sorts of things going on. And he took the time to track down the house coat of an elderly woman and make sure it was hand-delivered to her the next day. Now, that's what establishes a culture
mm-hmm.
in an organization.
Right.
And so it was a small interruption that showed the bigger value of paying attention to little things, listening to each person, and doing your best to meet their need in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give her some lecture about healthcare reform. You know, he delivered her house coat.
How busy his schedule was.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're thinking, I have several friends who were fire earths, and sometimes I'll get on a call with one of them and we'll talk and laugh and everything, and then after an hour phone call, they'll say, well, I got to go because I have not accomplished one thing today. I'm thinking, you know, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, exactly.
And I try to say that was the water portion of your day. It was worth something. But
yeah.
I think we can be so driven by our calendars that we forget about the little things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a whole other chapter you wrote, right?
Right.
In Jesus CEO, I think, he paid attention to the little things.
Right.
In this chapter as well, Laura, you talk about an author, speaker, a leader who's not with us anymore, Mike Iaconelli,
mm-hmm.
that wrote Messy Spirituality, and he had some bad hair days early in his ministry. In this chapter, it talks about him really wanting to acknowledge a woman in his congregation that had MS.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that story.
Well, one of the things I loved about Mike was that he used to brag that he had the slowest growing church in America.
Yeah.
Because he was really busy ministering to youth leaders. He told the story of a young pastor who had a congregant that was so excited to read a passage in Scripture. And it was his father.
Mm-hmm.
And so the young woman practiced and practiced and practiced, and then the time came for her to read the Scripture. And in very halting words, she read the
mm-hmm.
Scripture. And it was
like
really
15 minutes.
It ended up taking 15 minutes, and she had cerebral palsy. And so when she finished, she looked over at the pastor just grinning, and she had tears running down her face, and he had tears running down his face. And the people in the congregation, many of them were weeping.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, the chairman of the board and several of the board members called the pastor in his office and said, you will never do that again. You will have readers who know how to read, and
right,
you will
right.
get this church out on time.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor quit.
Yeah.
And you might say that was a bad hair day for him,
mm-hmm.
but he would not work in a place that had such hard hearts.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I guess to kind of sum this up this morning, we just need to be maybe more aware of our surroundings, of
uh-huh.
who we're engaging with, and just really see people. You know, I'm probably the most guilty of that. My wind and water are my lowest two elements, so my relational side is most challenged in that regard. And, you know, I think this is it's a good lesson for me today.
Mm-hmm. So maybe look at the next few interruptions that you have as Jesus messing your hair
yeah.
up and saying, hey, loosen up. You've got time for this.
Yeah.
You do have the time because God is eternal. God, we are eternal. We
mm-hmm.
do have the time.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautifully said. And thank you, Lori Beth, again, for a great insight and sharing of this content. We're so appreciative of your work. And just also want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
This week. I know it's been a fun week, and maybe just give a shout out to those who are just crazy about you this week.
Well,
all over
thank
Facebook.
You. Thank you so much for all the greetings. It's very humbling and fun, and I look forward to, who knows, with medicine, maybe another 60 years.
Well said. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.